85th Psalm in your Old Testament. Title of the message this morning is Reaching Out to God. Last Sunday, I preached to you about the pastor's purpose, and I preached about what my job is as a pastor in teaching and instructing and encouraging and ministering to our congregation. Sunday night, I preached to our church about spreading the gospel, sharing your faith with your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, the folks you work with, all throughout our community. It's a responsibility. It's part of the Great Commission. It's what we're compelled to do as believers, to share our faith. So this morning, I'm going to preach to you about prayer. I'm going to bring before you this block of scriptures that we find in Psalm 85 that really addresses prayer. So I'm wanting to start out as a church family, the year 2019, as a church united together, as I minister to you and as we minister together throughout our community and, yes, even around the world, as justice is a testimony to that. But in order for us to do that, we have to understand our responsibility. Amen? We have a family meeting, per se. And so these messages, this series, is our family meeting of looking at my responsibilities and our responsibilities as a congregation. The other day, my daughter, who has five little boys and a little baby girl now, she was telling her mom that the very first day of the year, 2019, the very first day, she called a family meeting. And don't you imagine that was so exciting with all those little boys, 11 years all the way down to a one-year-old girl. I'm sure they were so excited to come and just sit down and hear mom lay out the law for the year. But apparently she made it through and she survived, and so did they. Sometimes it's important to go back and be reminded of what my responsibilities and your responsibilities are as a family. And we are a church family, so it's important for us to understand. Prayer is a very important part of our responsibility. Not only our responsibility, our privilege to be able to come before God and to know the scriptures teach us that His ear is inclined towards us. He wants to hear from us. New Testament teaches us to pray without ceasing. God wants to hear from you. So as I read to you this text, Psalm 85, I'm going to pick it up at verse 4, and I'm going to read down through, but I'm going to kind of do it in segments as we go through the sermon, because we've run out of a little bit of time, so I want to make sure I get it all in. So the first segment of scripture, I'm going to read to you verses 4 down through 7. It says, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." So here you find the psalmist doing exactly what I'm talking to you about. He is praying to God. So the first thing we see in the text I'm going to take you through is several really important requests. They should be requests from every one of us. This should be part of our prayer life. Right here, you find the psalmist reaching out to God and making some clear requests. The first one he makes is in the very first part of verse 4, is he says, "Turn us, O God." And what does that mean, "turn us, O God"? It means, Lord, I need you to get my attention and turn me from the direction I'm going in. I know my direction is not right. I know it's a little off. I know I'm a little skewed in where I'm going. And I need you, Lord, to turn us in the direction that I should go. Each of us in our lives, we would do well to reach out to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to set my direction according to your will. Help me to set my direction according to your desire for my life. Because His desire for our lives is what's best for us. He has the best intentions for us. So we reach out in prayer and we say, God, I know that it's important that I turn in the direction of you. And then also look down with me at verse 6. He says, wilt thou not revive us again? That's kind of part of that turning, getting us on track. He says, Lord, would you not revive my soul? Would you not bring into me a new vision, a new life, a new excitement, a new zeal to walk with you and to walk in your way? God, set my course. Revive my soul is what the psalmist is saying. And this is an earnest prayer from the depths of his soul. When you come down to the latter part of verse 4, he says to the Lord, he says, not only do I need you to turn me, Lord, he says, I need you to cause your anger towards me to cease. You see, that's part of forgiveness, is asking God, God, forgive me. Turn your anger from me. If I've done something to offend you, Lord, I want to make it right. I want to be on the right course with you, in right relationship with you. It never hurts to take a moment and look at the person you love and say, is everything okay? Are we doing okay? Are we all right? And to go ahead and get things realigned, reset. Amen? Isn't it the truth? Are you listening to me here? Because it is good to do that with God as well. And that's what the psalmist is doing. He's saying, Lord, I need you to no longer be angry with me. I need you to cease in your anger towards me. In fact, when you come down into verse 5, he says, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? You see, the psalmist is concerned for his nation. He says, Lord, you know, whatever we've done to offend you, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to get back on track. I want you to forgive me and cease being angry with me, because I don't want you to be angry at me and my people forever. And you and I, we are the remnant in our nation. You and I are the believers, the children of God, those who have gone ahead and put our faith and trust in Him. And we should be lifting our whole nation up before God and saying, Lord, I desire you to be pleased with us, to be pleased with our nation, for you to lift off any anger you might have towards us. So these are specific requests that he's bringing before the Lord. Verse 7, look with me at that verse again. He says, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. What a powerful request to bring before God. And I challenge you this morning, if you have never prayed this prayer, you need to pray this prayer, where you yourself recognize, I am a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the book of Romans tells us. We have all come short of the perfectness of God. We are all sinners. And so here the psalmist says, God, I need your mercy, because it's a merciful God who forgives a sinner such as ourselves. He reaches out, he says, God, I need your mercy, and I accept your salvation. Look at verse 7 again. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. If this morning you have never reached out to God and accepted his mercy, his grace, you've never called upon Christ and asked him to save your soul, that needs to happen as you go into the year 2019. We as a congregation need to be united in our faith and our salvation in him. So here we see the psalmist. He starts off in these verses, this block of scripture, and he brings before God some specific requests. Very important requests. As we go down a little bit farther in the text, we find that God has some real desires. He really wants some things for us that tie into our prayer life. The first one I want you to see, in fact, I'm going to read down for you verses 8 on down through so that you can hear the text. Then we'll go back and look at it. He says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. So we begin to hear in this conversation that the psalmist is having with God, we begin to hear in his heart a realization that God has some real desires for you and I. First of all, he desires that we have peace. Look with me at verse 8 again. He says, I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. Very often when I do a funeral, I will take folks to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I want you to look over there with me if you would, because I want you to understand whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, you find that God wants us to have peace. Listen to John 14, verse 27. This is Christ speaking. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the psalmist in Psalm 85, he says, you know what? I know the Lord desires to give peace to his people. And Jesus here, he says, listen, I desire to give peace, not as the world gives peace, but I desire to give you, as my children, peace. The scriptures talk about it being a peace that passeth understanding. Maybe as you've come into the year 2019, maybe there's some things in your life that have caused hurt and turmoil and conflict, and you just need peace. You can't change the world, but you can change you through the power of God. You can find in him peace to deal with life. And that's what he wants to give you. He wants you to enjoy that peace that can only come from him. So when he says to us in verse 8 of Psalm 85, he says, listen, I will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But he says, let them not return to folly. Because sometimes the lack of peace in our lives is our own problem. Amen? Have you ever experienced that? You know, you work things out, you get things right, you start to feel good, and then you do the crazy thing again. And you find that you're all worked up again in some situation. He says, don't go back to that same old foolishness. Ask me to bring to you peace. And then be wise enough to follow the pattern, the direction that I have set for you that you prayed for in the very first verse, verse 4 there that I read. He says, follow that path that you might have peace in me. God desires us to have peace. Look with me at the very first part of verse 9. He says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. You see, God desires that we have salvation. A minute ago, I talked about the fact that we need to reach out and ask him, God, show your mercy to me. Forgive me. Save my soul. Give me eternal life through Jesus Christ. But here we're reminded that God desires us to have salvation. The New Testament tells us that God does not desire that any should perish. He doesn't want people to go to hell. Every once in a while, I'll hear people say, well, I don't believe that God's going to send anybody to hell. He's not. We're the ones who choose to go to hell. We're the ones who choose to reject God, to remove him from our lives. We accept the invitation to hell because he's extended to us the invitation to heaven. It's not God who sends people to hell. He does not desire that any should perish. He wants all to come to salvation. That's the desire of the Lord. As we come down into the second part of verse 9, look again with me. He says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. You see, not only does he desire us to have peace, not only does he desire that we have salvation, but he says, you know what? I really want to be glorified in your land. And what that means is he wants people to see God at work in your life. He wants people to see God at work in America. He wants folks to see his hand blessing in the things that we say and do. You know, when you go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 talks about giving our tithes and offerings to the Lord. But when you go to verse 11, he says, if we will be faithful to him in our finances, he says, I will hold back the devil, that he would not destroy the things in your life. You see, God wants you and I and others to see his blessing and his hand at work in our lives. It's his desire. So sometimes we're wondering, well, where is the Lord? Where's his hand at work? And all along, it's right there working in our lives. And we're just not recognizing it because he desires to give us peace, to give us salvation, to give glory in our lives to him. And look with me again at verse 12, the very first part of verse 12 in your text. It says, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. He desires to give that which is good in our lives. There are many things that we go to the Lord and we bring before him our troubles and our trials and our struggles. And God really wants the best for us. He wants to give to you and I that which is good. In fact, listen to the whole verse, verse 12. He says, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. We live in an agricultural community. Vermont still produces lots of milk. We see lots of dairy farms. And then the second biggest agricultural thing is we've got now we're growing and producing electricity in solar fields. They don't call them solar fields, just solar farms. And so they're harvesting electricity. I'm being a little bit facetious about that because I like to see the cornfields. I think cornfields are beautiful. Solar fields, not so much. But we're accustomed to seeing agriculture, aren't we? Yeah, I've put you all to sleep, so I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How many have ever seen a cornfield? Have you all seen a cornfield? Amen. Good, good, good. So we know what it's like to drive down and see increase happening. Amen? You see the brown ground. Although I had a farmer explain to me the other day, they no longer turn the soil over. Now it stays with some kind of cover crop, and they plant the corn right in there, and it grows up out of the cover crop. Wow, things are changing. But years ago, you used to see brown ground, and then all of a sudden, you'd see that little green corn sprout pop out of the ground. And you could see them just rose. I thought it was beautiful. I liked it. And then after a little while, you'd see them get a little taller and a little taller. And before you know it, was a forest of corn, wasn't it? You saw the increase. It's visual. When I was in college, I had friends who came to college from Iowa and Indiana. And those guys, they said, absolutely, you could stand in the middle of cornfields that were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres. And I don't know if it's true, but they said you could hear the corn grow. Is that true? Does anybody know? It's true. Yeah. So they said you could hear it grow. Don't we love to see increase? We love to see growth. We love to see things produce. And that's what God is saying here. He's saying, I desire to see in your land. I desire to see you increase. That's what God wants for you. Now, sometimes we're our own worst enemy, aren't we? We might have a productive field in our lives, something in our lives that's productive and it's doing well, and we're the person who messes it up. We go out there and do donuts in our own little cornfield, and we tear it all up. Now, not literally a cornfield, but maybe some other area of our life. Maybe our marriage is going well, and we do something insane to wreak havoc in it. And we wonder, why is it not going well? Or maybe our mom and dad, they're investing everything into us. They're treating us well. They're feeding us, housing us, clothing us. But we are the most rebellious kid on earth. And you're wondering, why don't I have a good relationship with mom and dad? Well, it's not because God doesn't want you to. It's not because mom and dad aren't trying. Maybe it's a personal problem. Need a little bit of an attitude adjustment. In every aspect of our lives. You know, maybe we have a great job and it's going well and we've gotten raises and we're doing good, but we just keep on creating trouble on the job. Not long before it's not going so well. So we have to recognize God does desire for us to prosper. He does desire that we do well. But we need to walk with Him and honor Him that His desires might come to pass in our lives. I want you to go back with me to our text, and I want you to see that there are some very real spiritual laws at work in this text. You see, prayer is us reaching out to God, and we understand that He has some very real desires for us, but I also want you to see that there are some spiritual laws at work. First of all, I want you to look at verse 10 with me. Mercy and truth are met together. That's a spiritual law. He says, mercy and truth meet together. They link up together. So you remember how when we first started out here, we talked about reaching out to God and asking for Him in verse 7 for His mercy and His salvation. Well, we reach out to God in mercy and we connect that with truth. The truth is, God's mercy connects with us in our repentance. God shows mercy to us when we come and say, God, forgive me of my sins. And He is righteous and faithful to forgive us our sins. Mercy and truth. We understand what's required, and it connects us to God's truth. That truth connects us to His mercy. So He gives to us a spiritual law that helps us to piece together lots of parts of our Christian walk. But that's not the only spiritual law built within these texts. Look at the second part of verse 10. He says, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. He's saying righteousness and peace touch each other. So think about it for a moment. He's giving you a spiritual law. He's saying when we live a righteous life, we find peace. We find peace in our heart and peace between us and God. But if you live like the devil, if you live an unrighteous and wicked life, he's saying, I want you to understand there's a spiritual law. Righteousness and peace touch each other. But unrighteousness, wickedness, you're going to find no peace. It's going to wreak havoc in your life. Turmoil, conflict, sorrow, struggle, all those things come about when we pursue that which is unrighteous and wicked and brings conflict and controversy into our lives. He's giving to us a spiritual law. Mercy and truth, they meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Look with me at verse 11. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Interesting that he says truth shall spring out of the earth. Now, this is a biblical law. He says, if you will look at the design that God has given the earth, he says, you'll see truth spring out of the earth. And I gave a lot of thought to that and went back and I read some things and creation research, all that kind of thing in relation to this text. And when you look at true science, now I'm not talking about hypothetical science, I'm talking about true science, where evidence brings a concluding law, you find that from the earth comes truth. For instance, If you really want to understand the laws of productivity, you go to the earth and you look at the way that things naturally proceed, the way that something has to die and that seed goes into the earth. And then that seed sprouts newness of life and it brings forth productive life, more seed, that there might be more productivity. That's the law of reproduction. You see it in every part of God's design, springing forth from the earth. He says, if you will look, you will learn much about truth as it springs forth in the earth in so many things. I've told you years ago, Greg Carr, some of you knew Greg. Greg was digging at a farm over here in Addison one day, and he called me on the phone. He says, Pastor, bring your kids over to this farm. I want to show you something. And they were running a power line out to a barn. And so I brought the kids out there, and they had dug down 3 or 4 feet. And as you went down, there was about this much topsoil, and then there was a layer of shells. You could literally just reach in there and scoop out little tiny shells out of that once you got past about the topsoil. And so I brought the kids over and I showed them and I looked. I was amazed. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, there was a time when all the earth was covered with water. And you look there and you see this layer of shells. Literally, you could scoop out shells right out here in Addison. And from the earth comes the truth of God's creation and then the great flood that brought destruction and all that transpired around our earth. It's interesting how the Bible says, from the earth will come truth, a spiritual law. Then look with me at the last part of verse 11, second part of it. He says, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. God looks down from heaven, for he is a holy God, a righteous God. He is that spotless Lamb of God. And he looks down upon the earth. And what God sees is a sinful humanity, a humanity desperately in need of the touch of God. In his righteousness, he has compassion and mercy for all. And before he created the heavens and the earth and all things therein, he devised a plan. I will one day pay for the sins of humanity. And in his righteousness, he paid for our inadequacies. This is the God we pray to. And this is the God we must pray to as we go into the year 2019. It's not just your pastor's responsibility. It is our responsibility to be prayer warriors together. We need to bring before him those very real requests for him to turn us and revive us that we might go in the right direction. That he himself might not be angry with us, but rather that he would show mercy and salvation to each one of us. He himself desiring to give us peace, even peace that passeth understanding, and salvation within Christ, that his glory might be revealed all through our lives and throughout our land, that he in return might give to us that which is good and increase that which we need in our lives. And through all of that, we go ahead and see the spiritual laws come to play that he talks about in Psalm 85. We see mercy and truth come together in our lives. We see righteousness and peace touch each other in our lives as we walk with him. We see truth spring out of the earth and all things as God's hand is revealed. And yes, righteousness looks down from heaven. Just as Psalm 85 talks about in our prayer life, we connect to all those things when we connect to him. So I challenge you, as we go into the year 2019, let's be a praying church. Amen? Let's be a praying church. praying for one another, praying for ourselves, praying for our family, praying for our nation, and praying for the souls of people all around the world. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of our service. And as our heads are bowed, I ask you this morning, have you ever put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever called out to him for his mercy and asked him to save your soul? Only you can do that. I can't do that for you. Your friend, your spouse, your parents, your children, they can't do that for you. Only you can call out for the mercy of God and accept his salvation into your heart and into your life through Jesus Christ. And as your head is bowed right now, I just ask you, have you developed the prayer life that this text is talking about? A thoughtful, purposeful prayer life. Lord in heaven, as we go into this invitation time, I pray for your Holy Spirit to work and move in our hearts and lives, that we might be committed prayer warriors. For truly we know, Lord, that there are some genuine requirements and needs. There's such wonderful promises. And then there's all the spiritual laws that we can connect to. There's so much for us to talk to you about and bring before you. Lord, I pray you stir our souls to make us prayer warriors. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's all stand.